The federal corruption probe into the United Auto Workers Union continues. The headlines keep coming. There have been FBI raids, indictments, convictions, top leaders resigning, bribes, kickbacks, misuse of union money. It's all in there. And now Detroit News business editor Daniel Howes and his colleague Robert Snell have pulled the threads together for their investigation titled Driven by Greed, Alliance of FCA Union Leaders Fueled Decade of Corruption. Daniel, take us into this alliance of FCA and union leaders. When and how did it begin, and what was the long game?
The long game ultimately became an attempted merger with General Motors. Fiat Chrysler chairman and CEO Sergio Marchionne was very keen on that, certainly in from about 2012 through 2015. But we trace this back. The first illegal payments to union people in the joint training center between the UAW and FCA came within weeks of the former Chrysler emerging from bankruptcy, flush with about $12.5 billion of years my money. And this unspooled over time in the ensuing years. And what we've also found out is that there were other kind of rings, if you will, or nests of corruption that were going on the East Coast, in St. Louis, elsewhere in Detroit, ultimately out in California in Palm Springs. They weren't all necessarily related. The only thing that really related them all was that they were all UAW. But, you know, the core of what was going on here was Sergio Marchionne able to exploit, it looks like, able to exploit some corruption or corrupt intent within the union. And there are a lot of people that were enlisted in this. We're hearing more names with each passing week. Our understanding is the federal government and the federal authorities are getting more and more tips. Where those will lead, if anywhere, remains to be seen, of course.
It was stunning in your piece, as I see that prosecutors are alleging that this money was part of a broad attempt by Fiat Chrysler execs to get these labor concessions from the UAW to keep them, and I'm quoting here, fat, dumb, and happy.
That's exactly right. That is the contention. And in fact, in some earlier pieces that we wrote, the federal authorities go so far as to say that this was a corruption that was orchestrated by Fiat Chrysler as a company and by the United Auto Workers as a union institution. That these were not just bad apples or quite a few bad apples within the organization, that it was systematic. Now, that has not been adjudicated, and it may never be, but that certainly is one of the allegations.
Did any of these bribery and kickback schemes, did any of this involve money from post-bankrupt GM?
You know, cash is fungible. So if these companies have got, at some point, have gotten money from the U.S. taxpayers, and in the case of GM, it was close to $50 billion at one point, you know, you could make that argument. But yes, there were situations where GM money was used. It's important to make a distinction here, though. Early on in this, what we thought was that the money that was being disbursed in bribes and other kinds of things to members of the UAW was money that came from the joint training centers. And that comes from the companies and is a negotiated number every 4 years. And they decide essentially what a budget is and how much they can spend. And the union, President Dennis Williams at the time when this first blew up, kept saying there's no member dues money here. None has been implicated at all. This is all corporate training center money. Well, what we've subsequently found is this is unspooled at the federal level is that, in fact, they were using member dues. That's what was financing a lot of the expenses and the luxury items out in Palm Springs, for example, or renting luxury villas, poolside luxury villas, not for the 3 or 5 day conference, but for 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, in some cases, 8 weeks.
As I read your piece, something jumped out, and that was the fact you write that the corruption spanned at least 4 generations of UAW leaders, including what you call the junior varsity. Has this infiltrated to lower levels of union leadership?
Hard to know, frankly. You have situations here where regional people have been charged. We haven't gotten into really local leaders yet, to my knowledge. That doesn't mean it isn't happening or isn't likely to happen. Frankly, we don't know where this is. When we talked to U.S. Attorney Matthew Schneider before Thanksgiving, he at one point characterized this as kind of the beginning of the end of the middle, or, you know, it was kind of a, he was trying to channel Churchill or something in terms of where exactly we were in this whole thing. But I think clearly it's not over by any stretch. And, you know, even if the former president Gary Jones and his predecessor Dennis Williams are charged, there are likely to be others who are charged. You get the impression. So, you know, this and in certain regions like Region 5 out in St. Louis, it's obvious that this has been going on for some period of time, and it was part of the culture there. Now, I think some of the ages of some of the people involved, they tend to be maybe a little bit older, but we don't also know who some of the other people that were involved.
As you dug through all those documents and records, you write for us and lay out a stunning ability of these union bosses to spend an astonishing amount of money. Give us a few of the expenses that really stood out to you.
Well, certainly Palm Springs is kind of in a class by itself, buying bottles of Cristal champagne, which on most wine lists are about $400 a piece, $200 retail, give or take, $60,000 in cigars, cigar cutters, ashtrays, fancy ashtrays, $2,000 sets of Titleist golf clubs, one of which was found in the garage of Gary Jones in suburban Detroit. There was a lot of real excess in that regard, I think. The other thing that struck me, and Rob did a lot of the work on some of this stuff, which is the numbers of the payouts. The number so far is there's been, I think it's about $34 million of illegal benefits have been accrued and collected by people affiliated with the union. The number per person was something like on the order of over $400,000. Now, when you compare this to other corruption cases in Southeast Michigan, and as a lot of your listeners know, this has been going on for some period of time. The most obvious example was the conviction of former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick. Mm-hmm. But the amount of money that these guys were taking pales, is it just makes all that other stuff look like chicken feed. So the UAW and the auto industry has taken this to a much higher level in terms of dollars and cents. And that, I think, is a reflection of the size of the industry, the amount of money that flows through it. I mean, these companies are, you know, General Motors is what, $150 billion probably in terms of annual revenue. Fiat Chrysler is less than that. But these are enormous amounts of money that flow through these companies. And so, you know, $34 million to the auto industry is a rounding error, frankly. It's not to other people, though. And if you're the one who's a recipient of some of that money, it can be sizable. I mean, in a couple of cases, we got into $1.5 million, $2 million. For one individual.
One thing that jumped out, 58,000 watches supplied by UAW VP's Joe Ashton's chiropractor, and they were delivered in January 2014. What the heck ever happened to 58,000 watches?
As far as we know, they're sitting in a Detroit warehouse. It's important to know, so a lot of your listeners may remember the airbag inflator scandal that greeted Mary Barra when she became CEO of General Motors.
Yes.
She had to contend with that. Well, those watches were ready for shipment, and they were supposed to be a marker of what a great quality and vehicle quality GM had, and how the union and the company worked together, and this was supposed to commemorate that. Well, obviously the timing, and no pun intended, was terrible. And so the watches were never disbursed and given out to anybody, and they're still sitting in a warehouse, presumably their battery's dead, just sitting there. It kind of reminds you, evokes this vision of, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark at the end, you know, where you've got this long storage room, and it's somewhere at the back are watches that have a UAW logo on them.
How did this go on so merrily for so long until the feds got tipped off?
Well, the federal authorities talk about a culture of corruption or a culture of alcohol. Clearly, this was something that had been going on for some period of time. In talking with the feds, we've asked them about that. And they say, look, we went back to the beginning to 2009. That was the emergence from bankruptcy was a good place to start in this whole thing. But there, I think there's a belief that a lot of this stuff had been going on for a very long time. Now, I think it probably warped and woofed depending on who were players and who were not. I mean, one person that we identified for the first time in our package this week was a guy by the name of Jim Wells, who was the head of Region 5 based in St. Louis. he was infamous in auto circles for being a very difficult guy to work with, but he was also infamous in union circles and was depicted as someone who taught people how to essentially do this. And a lot of the individuals who have been charged and in some cases convicted in this whole thing came out of Region 5, including, I might add, UAW President Gary Jones, who just resigned. He was the deputy of Jim Wells. Now, Jim Wells died in 2012, and Gary Jones took his place until he became the president of the UAW in June of 2018. But Region 5 was the region that was sponsoring these conferences every year out in Palm Springs because California was part of the region. It was the largest geographic region in the UAW, 17 states. The new president, Rory Gamble, has now blown it up and is now separating it and essentially hiving it off between two different regions, one based in Chicago and the other in Tennessee, which strikes me as a situation where they're trying to get their arms around or break up whatever may be going on in that region and bring a little bit more rigor to it. And in fact, the two regional heads of those two other regions are considered to be pretty straight shooters.
Well, it is a tremendous feat of reporting, and there's so much in this package, including a lot of interactive web things. I do encourage people to check out at DetroitNews.com, Driven by Greed, from Daniel House and Robert Snell. Daniel House, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.